Welcome on in, everybody, and very excited to talk to our next guest. We got UFC 305 coming on up, and this man is an absolute legend of the game, the Hangman, Dan Hooker, joining us here. He is going to be fighting this upcoming weekend. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Nah, no trouble at all. No trouble at all. Just the last, I think it's the last day of media today. A bit of a press conference tomorrow, so it's just a bit of a whirlwind up until the fight, so it's good. Keep us busy.
Absolutely. You know, you got the whole thing going down. Do you feel in the lead up this week, any shenanigans going to go down with Gamrot, or do you feel like this has been pretty respectable between you two? How have you felt the lead up has been between you guys?
Yeah, well, I haven't heard him say a word, but wasn't even sure if the cop spoke English, but someone told me he did an interview yesterday and he does. So, but I can't imagine him changing his tune too much. So I'd say it'd be pretty respectful.
Do you, is this like a, especially when you guys have that, you know, these fights over that part of the world for you guys, how special has that become? Because you guys have blown it up over there in New Zealand and Australia, just the culture of fighting to get exposed like that. What does that mean to you, Dan, that you're kind of one of the pioneers of that?
Oh, many came before me, but there are a lot of guys that have come before me, but it's like special moments. You fight for long enough. Like, I've been in the UFC for 10 years. This will be my 22nd fight in the UFC. And it's like, you want to fight. You forget about who you fought, what they were ranked. You know, this stuff all fades away. You want to fight for those special moments. And being a part of the card with, you know, Kai Komain, Israel Main, and then me third to last is a special moment. Like, three guys from the same team on a pay-per-view, the last three fights is something I don't think has been done before. So it's, yeah, this one's going to go down in history.
What are the vibes like when you guys know that you're going to be on a big card together at the gym? Like, is there anything that's different scheduled as far as the lead up is concerned for training wise, or does that help as far as everybody's kind of on the same page?
It's easy, man. It's easy to get to the gym. It's easy to train. It's easy to push through those hard sessions because everyone else is doing it like right next to you. It's not like, mate, when you're on a card by yourself, nothing's harder in the world than getting out of bed for those tough training sessions. So, it's just been fun. It's been fun and it's been easy.
How much do you feel like at this point in your career, Dan? Do you feel like you enjoy the process as much as you did when you were younger, or is it harder to reach in to find the fun stuff when you're this much of a vet of the sport?
Oh, like, if the time off and away from the sport to be anything is it gave me like a real appreciation for it, because you're missing out. You're sitting on the sidelines and you start to think like, man, what if this is, you know, the last time you get to ride the roller coaster. So it gives you like a fresh appreciation for it. So I appreciate everything. I appreciate the fans. I appreciate, you know, we've got a big open workout today. Like, it's just, yeah, I appreciate it. I get more appreciative, and I definitely get more excited than I would have probably just through the experience as well. You can be calm through it and you can enjoy it more than when you're a bit younger and it's new and it's fresh and you're just stressing yourself out to death. Like, so now I can just appreciate these moments.
How much from your standpoint, like, you're one of the most talented guys we've ever seen in there with your striking, your fights are never boring. So much excitement that you bring. Like, are there new elements you want to bring to the cage as far as like maybe a next run of the title or things like that? Or do you just feel like more experience and knowing and knowledge of that will kind of carry you?
It's a funny position, because like, I just truly feel like in the last year my game's like really come together. Like, I got in the UFC at 24, like, I was super young and I was not by any stretch of the imagination like a well-developed fighter. So I've had to do like a lot of learning and a lot of growing inside of the UFC and trialing new things and say they didn't work and not being disheartened by that, because you if you're going to develop in the UFC, you've got the whole world watching you and it's against the toughest guys in the world. So it is like a lot more difficult. And I'd say that it's just not happening. Guys aren't getting in with undeveloped skill sets anymore. I feel like the game has evolved like a lot further. I feel like these guys coming through now and getting their contracts on the contender series, like if you even want to get your foot in the door, you have to be like a well-developed fighter. It's not like, oh man, I came in and I was just a young kid, forward pressure would fight on the inside. And that's just, those kind of fighters do not last very long inside of the UFC. So I've had to add new things and develop. And I feel like it's only just kind of coming together now. So yeah, I guess I'm just looking forward to showcasing like a full skill set.
Was there a point in your career, because as I said, like one of the most entertaining guys in the cage, you're a wild man. Like everybody loves watching a Dan Hooker fight. And it's impossible to ever turn away. Like anybody ever try and like rein that in and be like, hey man, not like, you know, don't always get into the crazy wars. Cause like, but that is what the fans love about you, obviously. Cause people always tune in, but did anybody ever try and take that away from you?
Plenty of times, brother. Plenty of times. I think my coaches try that every single time. Because I got a temper like a light switch, brother, and I got that game plan. I got that game plan to like get hit in the nose, and I just go, all right, let's have a scrap then, brother. But yeah, like you obviously want to try your best to listen to your coaches. For this fight especially, I feel like the biggest threat is me just being my own worst enemy and getting frustrated, because he is a very frustrating person to fight. Like he does smother a lot of guys, and he's not he's not going to get into those exchanges like a lot of guys get into exchanges. So I'll be my own worst enemy in this fight, so I really have to keep like a cool level head in this fight.
Is there an element to you, like do you have to go into training for this thinking about, you know, avoiding the takedowns, or do you just try and sharpen your skills to be the best version of like your offense to impose that? Like how do you go at a guy like Gamrot? Like what was the preparation like for it?
Yeah, oh man, you can't just like not want to get taken down and run away from a takedown. You just become the easiest guy to take down in the world. It's like obviously I'm focused on what I'm doing and me doing my thing, but if I only, man, if it's like trying to wrestle someone that doesn't wrestle you back. There's no punishment for wrestling. It will be like a striker punching a guy who doesn't punch you back. It's the easiest night of the office you've ever had. So you have to. He starts a wrestling exchange. I can't just try and escape it, because there's no punishment. You're not going to get tired for committing to those takedowns. You have to engage in the wrestling and wrestle him back.
What's Izzy been like around in these camps? A lot of people are wondering, with him taking the time off too, you know, what kind of version of style bender we're going to get. What kind of guy have you seen in the lead up to this hostile main event?
I'm avoiding him at training. I'm avoiding him. Usually I try and wind him up and piss him off like a chihuahua biting at his heels, but I'll stay right away from him in this camp. He's hit too hard. Like he's recovered all of his injuries. He's gunning, man. He's locked in. I'm excited for that one.
You buy into the idea like that? I'm sure as his teammate, you've heard all the noise, like people saying, is it past him? Like this guy's one of the greatest of all time. You still see that element to him in training?
Oh, he's just revitalized. I haven't seen him fight like this in absolute years and perform like this in the gym. So to see it firsthand, like I know what he's capable of. I know there's plenty of tread left on those tires. He ain't going nowhere.
So how much more of the ink are we going to go with, man? Are we going face tats? Like what is the next element? Because I mean, this is like, you look like Ragnar, like Vikings Valhalla. Like I love the look.
Oh, well, stay off the neck and the face. I got plenty of space left before that. I'm staying off face, neck, and hands until I get a bit more coverage.
Is it true the addiction that you get? I'm inkless. I have no tattoos, but people have said like once you get it, you go down a road. Like, have you felt that?
Yeah, I just kind of fell into it. Like it was a bit of an impulse, like getting my back tattoo was done, and then I can't just have like a massive back piece. So then I put something on the legs, and then I can't just walk around naked and only have socks on. So then I needed a bit of something. So I just kind of, now I've got it to a place where like I know where it's going. You know what I mean? Like it's yeah, but it's like the same thing. I absolutely love them. I think I like the way they look. I hate getting them. They're expensive and they hurt. I can't say, I don't know. There's like a misconception that I enjoy getting tattooed. That's an absolute lie.
You like the finished product.
I like the finished product.
Well, look, I appreciate it because I'm like, you know what people like say they get addicted to. I'm like, all right, could maybe I because I'm not a needle guy. I'm not for it, man. I don't think I could go down that road ever. But you know what, like also I don't feel like I could pull off the battle weapons like you do because you're one of the baddest men on the planet.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I haven't exactly got sunshine and rainbows, tattoos and koi fish.
Well, I mean, yes, that would be the koi fish. We do see a couple guys with the koi fish. It's a little bit weird. I don't understand that one, but it's but I think you have it very appropriate for the hangman. I think it's appropriate, yeah, Dan. Yeah.
It fits.
Before we get you out of here, in Australia, since this has come back, have you noticed anybody dressing like the breakdancer from the Olympics? Has this as you have rolled around? Has this been all over the news? Because we can't get enough of this in America, of this woman who went all over the Olympics. She apparently like was so bad that breakdancing went away, but I could not stop watching her kangaroo dance. Has this been all the rage over there?
Oh man, it's the bloody talking point. It's a talking point at the bar. You know what I mean? Everyone's into her about it. I would have probably missed that the breakdancing was in the Olympics altogether if she wasn't on it, and to turn it into one of the biggest stories. So man, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought breakdancing back after all the attention she's brought to it.
I feel like she needs to be Octagon side. I feel like that needs to be the move. Like,
bring her in for a little, let her walk someone out. How about that?
Absolutely. Have her walk you out. Would you have her? Would you have, Reagan out?
Maybe not me.
That's more of an Izzy thing.
I'm not putting my hand up for that one, but walk someone can.
Dan, we can't wait to watch your fight, man. UFC 305, go buy it on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. This man's an absolute legend. We love watching him in action. Never a boring fight. Dan, the Hangman Hooker. Thanks for the time, man. Appreciate you. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much.